Praise the Lord for each one of you being present. We have some old-fashioned people here, and we have some new-fashioned people here. And we're glad to have each of you. And we're going to have dinner, and everyone's invited to hang around and have lunch with us. And we have anything after dinner? We're going to have a pie auction, right? Okay. We're going to have that kind of during it, maybe. Turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. The thought I want to share with you today is crossing over. Crossing over. I'm sure every one of us here can look back at a time, or maybe we need to have an experience of crossing over. We are on one side, and we need to move to the other side. Now, if you're not a Christian, we want you to cross over and become a Christian, and become one of us. If you are maybe a Christian, but not really living for Christ, we want you to cross over and live for Christ. If you are a Christian and you're not really faithful like you should be to the Lord, not faithful to do what you need to do and serve the Lord and the church family like you should, we want you to cross over from what is unfaithfulness, cross over to faithfulness. Now, as we think about our church and where we are, 144 years since it was established here, we want our church to cross over into a new year and into a better era, a better time where we see more people saved and we serve the Lord more faithfully. So everybody has a crossing to make, right? If we look at this, chapter 3, read with me, follow as I read. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from this place, your place, and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way which by ye must go, for ye have not passed this way theretofore. I think you ought to underline that last word there, those last few words in verse 4. We haven't passed this way before. We need to cross over. We haven't been able to do that. And then verse 5, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you unto Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the sole of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all the banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, very far from the city Adam that is beside Zartum. And those that came down towards the sea of the plains, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. It's a wonderful passage of scripture that dealt with the time that Israel finally got to cross over the Jordan River. If you notice here that the leader, Joshua, he sent the word out to all the people that, hey, tomorrow we're going to do this. You need to get ready. You need to prepare yourself. And the priests are going to take the ark, and they are to bear the ark. And as soon as they hit the water is going to start parting. And all the children of Israel are going to walk across the Jordan River on dry ground. Isn't that a wonderful miracle? Amen? So, and the people were to stand back just a little and let them be a little farther ahead of them so that all the people could see what was going on. If they got too close, it would have crowded out what was going on, and they would have just not known what to do. So they let them get a far piece ahead of them, and they watched them as they hit the Jordan. The water started parting, and there's a mountain of water on one side, and they walk into that water and stand still. They just stand still holding the ark, and then the people walk across on dry ground. That's a wonderful miracle. These events are very important in the history of Israel. Crossing the Red Sea was the first river that they crossed, or the sea, the water body that they crossed. They crossed the Red Sea when they come up out of Egypt. And we know about that because we've seen the movie, right? The Red Sea. And Moses, Charlton Heston, they favor to me. I mean, they look a lot alike. And so we know about the Red Sea. They cross over. But they were to go through the wilderness, and then they're to cross the Jordan River. Now, how many years was between the time they crossed the Red Sea to where they crossed the Jordan? How many years was it? 40 years, that's right. And they're in this great wilderness for all these 40 years. And so, why are they there? Why are they there? They're there because of, well, basically, because of unbelief. And you know, you put all of our sins in the category of unbelief. You know, if we're living in adultery, or if we're living in any kind of immorality, or if we're just kind of sitting still, not going forward in Christ, all of it just because we don't believe God. If we're living in open rebellion towards God, we don't believe God in the sense that we don't believe that one day we'll stand before God. Because if we really believed, if we really got a hold of the concept that we're going to answer to God for our life, it would change the way we live. It's just a matter of unbelief. That's the real problem. That's the bedrock problem of all the things that we don't do that we ought to do, and all the things we shouldn't do that we do that should be left. That's the answer. It's unbelief. Now, when we think about this, we think about the children of Israel. They crossed the Red Sea. You know, when they crossed that Red Sea, it's a picture and typology of being in Christ. They're in Moses. They're part of Moses' group when they come out of that Red Sea. Moses is a type of Christ, see, in the Old Testament. And they are a part of, they are Moses' group of people. They're his elect, his chosen group of people. So they crossed over the Red Sea. But you know what it said in 1 Corinthians? We read that last Sunday night, that God was not pleased with all of them. God was not well pleased with all of them. And let me ask you something. The reason they stayed there in the wilderness for 40 years, the reason they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years, well, it's because of their sin of unbelief. But what needed to take place during that 40 years? You know? Well, they had to have a whole generation die, right? A whole generation died off out in the wilderness. Who survived that? There's two men, and maybe their families survived. I suppose some of their families survived. Who was it? Joshua and Caleb. Two good names there, Joshua and Caleb. They survived it. All of the rest of the people died in the wilderness. Boy, it's a serious thing not to believe God. It's a serious thing, no matter what excuse we put on it, it's a serious thing to disobey God. 40 years and all of that generation died in the wilderness, and a new generation with Joshua and Caleb and Moses walk into, well, actually not even Moses, I'm sorry, Joshua and Caleb go into the promised land. They cross the Jordan River. Now, how many Christians, don't raise your hand, how many Christians we got here today? Quite a few of us. Have you, you're in Christ, you crossed that Red Sea. You've crossed that Red Sea. Have you crossed the Jordan yet? Now, the Jordan is not when you die and go to heaven, okay? Let's make that clearly understood. Do you need to cross over? Are you in the wilderness as a Christian, just wandering around? You know, one verse in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord said to him through Moses, said, are y'all tired of circling this mountain? Let me ask you about your life. Are you getting tired of just going around that same circle? Is it time to cross over? Go into the promised land. See, a lot of us have gotten out of Egypt. We're not in the world anymore. We're Christian. But have we crossed over into the promised land? We got out, but have we gotten in? Are we where we need to be? Are we where God wants us to be? Is there things in our life that are displeasing to God? Are there things in our life that are hindering God from using us? Are there things in our life that are contrary to the Christian witness that we're living? Do we need to cross over into the promised land? See, the Jordan crossing over, it represents an event that needs to take place in every Christian, where we put things behind us, where we come out of those areas of defeat, where we enter a new stage of the Christian life, where we're consecrated and we're dedicated and we're living for Christ and not living for ourselves. Have you got out, but have you got in? That's the real question. Have you crossed over? Do you need to cross over? If you're not a Christian today, we want you to cross over that Red Sea and trust Christ as your Savior. Now, in our text, Joshua rose early in the morning. He gathered all the leaders together and he gave them commandments to command the people, and they gave them directions and they gave them instruction, and they taught them what God had told them, and they were told, when you see that ark, when you see that ark, keep your eyes on that ark and you follow that ark. And that ark is going to go down into that Jordan River, and you keep your eyes on that ark and you're going to cross over on dry ground. You know, the ark is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. That's what it is. It's a picture of Christ. He said to the priests in verse 6, Joshua said unto the priest, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took the ark of the covenant and they went before the people. Now, as a Christian, we're to follow Christ, right? We're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, leaders instruct us to do that, but we're to follow Jesus. And this ark is a wonderful picture and illustration of the Christian life, where we are to follow Christ, not only into the wilderness, but through the wilderness, into the promised land, crossing the Jordan in the process. You know, I told you last week that it was just a short journey from the Red Sea to the promised land. But that's why we know they were Baptists, because they took an 11-day journey and turned it into 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They had a committee of 12. Remember that committee of 12? And 10 of them said, we can't do it. 2 of them said, we can. And majority ruled, and they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. Yeah, but in your own personal life, the challenge today is for you to cross over, to leave behind that old wilderness living, to leave behind that stuff that you have carried along with you as a Christian, that need to fall by the wayside, that need to go away in your life and enter into the promised land. And the promised land is a state of the Christian life where you fight battles and you win battles and you move forward for the glory of God. Now the people had their problems. That's why they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They were doubting. They were doubters. Other things because of doubt came up in their life. You know, it all starts by not believing and trusting God. And you know what? I think every one of us that are still in the wilderness experience. Now remember, the promised land experience is not a perfect life. It's not a perfect peace. But it's you being where you need to be. But I want to say to all of us in the wilderness that when you just quit believing God, other things start taking hold of you like leeches. They get hold of you. You know, we in America are a Christian nation, right? But you know, Paul Kirkendall, old pastor, mentor of mine, used to say this. He says, if America doesn't repent soon, that God's going to have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them for judging them. You think about that. You think about the moral decay that's going on in Christian America. It's going on, isn't it? Am I the only one? Am I wrong? Moral decay going on in America? And you know, we are a Christian nation. And listen to me, if you were to go out there into the streets of any city, half the people would tell you, are you a Christian? I guarantee you, about half the people would say yes or maybe more. The moral decay. If America doesn't soon repent, God's going to have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for judging them for their sin. The attitude of our people. Is that what's keeping us? Is that where we need to cross over? You know, I think about our church family. God's good to us. God's blessed us. But is there anything in our lives that we need to cross over about? Is there anything we need to leave behind? If I were to give an invitation right now and say, all of you that need to turn from something, all of you that need to start doing something, come to the altar and kneel right here at an altar, one of two things would take place. One, you wouldn't realize you need to come. Two, you wouldn't pay any attention to what I said. Would it be that we need to cross over from laziness into getting involved? Would it be that we need to cross over from complaining and griping to problem solving? Would we need to cross over from sitting to standing? From laying back to walking? What do we need to do in our crossover? Well, the leadership in the case of Joshua, he did what he was supposed to do. He brought the truth before the people, and he was willing to bring the truth before the people, and he said, okay, this is what we need to do. We need to keep our eyes on the Christ. Amen? Got your attention that time. We need to keep our eyes on the priest bearing the ark. Right? And we need to follow that. Let me ask you, are you following Christ or just kind of comfortable? Now, in our text, Joshua, the people are doing it. They've been wilderness wanderers for 40 years, but they just simply get up and do what they're instructed. They follow. They're following the ark, and they cross over into the promised land. Now, what gets me? What took place in the heart of these people to change them from being just wilderness wanderers to warriors in the promised land? What is it? Can you tell me what took place? What happened in their heart or their mind? You know, the only thing I can understand about why, what made them from wilderness wanderers into warriors in the promised land, the only thing I can understand, they just crossed over. Joshua told them what to do, and they just got up the next day, and they kept their eyes on the ark, and they crossed over, and I guess they saw God do another miracle there. These people hadn't really seen the first one, but they saw God do a miracle there, and they go into the promised land, and they're warriors. Can I tell you what I get from that? We don't need new people in our church. We need just to cross over. Oh, we need workers. We need workers. What church doesn't need workers, right? All churches need workers. But you know what? We don't need them to come in. We need us to come over. We need to cross over from laziness, from not trusting Christ, from just kind of watching. We need to cross over that Jordan on that dry ground and enter the promised land and become a warrior. Now, they saw Christ, they obeyed the word of God, and they exercised their faith. If you want to get what crossing over there means, it means that they saw, they watched, and then they obeyed the word, and then they had enough faith to get up and do what was told. I wonder if anybody there said, Joshua don't have the right to tell me what to do. You know, they did that with Moses, didn't they? Korah, Dathan, and their crowd said, "Who made you the boss?" But you know, here's the thing, in this setting where Joshua gives them the commandment, enough people were crossing over. I suppose those that were skeptical said, you know, if we don't cross over, we're going to get left behind. Did you ever find yourself in a group of people where there was indecision? And the indecision caused you not to move, and you just sit there. In our church family, there needs to be some of us get a little committed, consecrated to Christ, and we start moving that we might cause the other people to move. I'm talking to you, my friend, that maybe you need to not sit and sour. Maybe you need to cross over. It's pretty lonesome for one or two individuals to cross over and, hey, y'all come on with us. I found myself sometimes as a pastor of the church leading to look back and notice I'm the only one there. We have to move together. And we have to consecrate our heart to do the will of God, to follow the plan of God. Now we see the people, though, they follow the instruction, they follow the word of Joshua, but they prepared themselves. First of all, verse 9, they heard, they listened. We need to listen, we need to hear. You know, hearing in the Bible is really more than just hearing with the ear only, but it's hearing with the heart. They heard with the heart, and then they had enough confidence that it was the word of God that they sanctified themselves. If you look at verse 5, Joshua gave them a word. He said, now you need to sanctify yourself. What does it mean to sanctify yourself? What does that mean? Can I give you some old-fashioned words? It means to repent. That's an old-fashioned word. It means to rededicate. to follow Christ. Consecrate yourself, he says. Sanctify yourself. He said, prepare. So if you're going to cross over, you need to sit down with yourself and God, and you need to say, God, show me, O Lord, what it is in me that you want to change in my life. And then whatever that is, you need to give it over to God or give it up to God and say, all right, I'm going to leave that out of my life so I can cross over and get into the promised land and stop being a wanderer to be a warrior for God. So repent, rededicate, cross over, and begin living for Christ. Personal responsibility of every Christian. Every Christian has a responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the church family which they are a part of. Number one, to love Christ supremely. To love the Word of God. To love the people around them. To love their church. To love the world that's lost around them. Do you need to cross over? Do you need to repent? Do you need to sanctify yourself? Do you need to consecrate yourself and cross over? Repent means to turn away from and to turn around and rededicate to love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely, to love the Word of God that's before us, to love the people in our church family, to love people around you, to love the lost world outside. Loving self is easy to do. But there needs to be a repentance that we love Christ, we love people of our church, we love our church family, we love a lost world, we love the Word of God. When they consecrated their self by obeying the instruction of Joshua, they were ready to move forward. I told you the title of the message today is Crossing Over. But you know what? You can't cross over until you have a time in your life that you hear, that you repent, and that you rededicate your life. These are old-fashioned concepts. Once you hear the truth, realize the need, repent means to turn and rededicate, you're ready to move forward and you're ready to cross over. And it says there in verse 13 that it came to pass as soon as the sole of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall cut off from the waters that came down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it goes on to say they're going to walk across, last verse, on dry ground. Dry ground. Solid ground. Think about it. Do you need to cross over? There needs to be a time that we listen. We realize. We rededicate. We move forward. Now, if you just move forward without that consecration and sanctification, you're not going to walk through on dry ground. It's going to be like mud holes. Dragging along. But if we'll stop and realize, we repent, and we rededicate, then when the priest feet hit the water's going to part, the ground's going to dry, and we're going to walk across the Jordan. We're going to cross over from becoming wanderers in the wilderness to being warriors in the promised land. Once we do, listen, realize, repent, rededicate. eyes on Christ, we can walk across on dry ground. Is your life a real struggle right now? You know, sometimes it is. And we don't always know why. Sometimes that's part of God's design. He wants us to struggle. Sometimes it's because of our own sin. Sometimes it's because of our own condition. So in the Christian life, there's times to cross over. You know, the Jordan experience can be reduplicated on down the road sometimes. Sometimes you need to cross over again, so to speak. There has to be a time we listen. We realize. We repent. Rededicate. Then we move together on dry ground. Christian, are you here today in the wilderness? Is there a need to cross over? I want to challenge you to listen, realize, repent, rededicate. As a church, I want us to cross over into year 145. I want us to cross over to refire, to go forward, to win people to Christ. To reach out, to have vision. How about a church? Can we do that? Individuals have to make that decision. See, in the Christian life, there are many options. We can choose to be our own Lord, or we can truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you cross over today? Would you cross over with us today? Let's bow our heads.